Okay, so it's always good to start off with something that looks vaguely demo-like, something vaguely live. If you go to our podcast website in the OU, you'll see an interface that looks like this. And if you want to play with one of them, you can. This is one of our very popular podcasts, Fast Forward in Spanish, and you can listen to the Open University's one of the Open University Spanish courses in this context. But actually, let's go back, because what I wanted to show you is this, which is, so this is a technical conference, right? So I'm not going to spend very much time talking a bit about policy. I'm not going to talk about features of university life that are very different amongst our universities particularly. But I am going to say that technically, one of the things we're interested in is managing this sort of stuff. So there's a lot of this. If you want to submit a podcast into this channel, you have to think very carefully about a number of issues. And quite a lot of the technical conversation following on from this introductory piece today will be about all of these sorts of things, which are rather complicated. Things like that, down the bottom, managing your rights, managing who owns what, and what it is you want to do with the thing you've just done, turns out to be one of the biggest challenges for podcasting today. So, talk piece. Starting off a session like this, having shown a bit of a technical background, we want to do something more general. Let me set the time on to make sure I finish on time. Very strict on timing, so when my phone says shut up, I'll shut up. Okay. I'm in charge of a little R&D lab at the Open University. We have 100 people or so working on new media and innovations projects for the university, and mostly innovative research ideas. So much of my life actually is working with the semantic web. We're most interested in the future of the web, and that's obviously semantic. However, we do a range of other cool media things too that are quite interesting. And working with the Oxford-Cambridge team on Steeple is one of the most fun things we've been doing recently. On the back of a lot of AV media flooding out of universities now. 10 years ago, it was quite challenging to have a JPEG slide of your lecture with a real audio one soundtrack on it, and then a little arrow button taking you to the next JPEG slide with the real audio one soundtrack on it. I know that because that's what I was doing 10 years ago. These days, we're trying to be much more professional with our podcast methodologies. And we're trying to organize them. There are at least 30 UK universities who have their own pages in YouTube. If you're interested in the list, there's a delicious tag there from one of our colleagues at the Open University who's gone to the trouble of searching through YouTube to try and find UK HEIs. It's growing all of the time, and of course, we have a range of home pages connected into things on YouTube for those slightly quirky things you tend to find in that channel. In YouTube, you are never really one click away from a skateboarding dog. So how you present yourself as a serious academic next to the skateboarding dog is a challenge. But because we're keen to get our media out into the world, to get what we call content out to our clients, customers, and students, YouTube presents us with a really interesting opportunity and some very different brand characteristics and some very different demand characteristics than a conventional lecture. So thinking a bit about that, YouTube have recently released a .edu website that takes you one more click away from the very quirky things that you often get in YouTube. It's only available to North American universities just now, although we spotted an Australian university in there yesterday. So we're still in negotiation with YouTube about what the hell they're doing with that channel. Apple have been doing this for a very long time, and their brand characteristics are very different. Most of what I'll be talking about today relates to the work that we've done in iTunes, because we've put a lot of work over the last year in making sure that the very different characteristics of the iTunes channel work for our university. So there's, I can't remember, John, whether it's 300 or 600 universities in iTunes at the moment. 600. 600, damn. I'll fix that. 600 universities in iTunes, John told me yesterday, and I couldn't remember it this morning when I was writing this slide. I'm going to be talking quite a bit more about that as we go along. But just to say also, there's a lot of other sources for places where video now goes. And I was actually thinking quite hard about where the OU puts all of its media. We put media into various different sorts of places. Many of them are course-related websites, obviously, and some of them are magazines. And the thing I've put up here is a little picture of Platform, which is an exception that proves the rule for us. The OU is actually, as a university, very sensitive about the concept of podcasting. Because we actually, there's a number of things that we don't do very well, because we have been very wary of them. We don't do very well individual production. Everything in the OU is done by teams. We consider that educational quality arises out of a bunch of academics getting together and agreeing on something. So the idea that you can let an individual stand in front of you and talk to you for 50 minutes is anathema to us. It doesn't work very well for our model. So the idea that you can then just automatically in some way plug that into a channel and give it to people is really weird. On the other hand, we have lots of embedded video of people talking, individuals having conversations with each other. And that magazine Platform is quite a nice example of that, because it contains a number of different sorts of models of academics talking HEI stuff, which can be consumed by different sorts of users. But it is certainly the case we think very hard about all of the channels that we use in trying to think about leveraging new media in the sort of business that we do. Our business is a little bit different to most conventional universities. So let me just pick out three different channels for you that we're currently using. One is podcast.open, which is where you can go. I just showed you it right at the beginning. You can anybody in the OU, if you are an OU person, can register a podcast with this service, say something about it, and make some decisions about where it goes. We can't promise you it'll end up there, but you make decisions about it, and it'll enter into a workflow and editorial process for appearing somewhere, possibly in multiple places. YouTube is managed by our communications unit, and again, lots of people can connect into that. It's much more, it's got very different characteristics from other places, and one of the things you can see here, for example, is sections of some of our BBC co-worked material. That one, for example, is a section from James May's Big Ideas, which is a program we did recently. And why the Open University chose James May to be its spokesperson on science is an interesting question. Maybe we should have gone for Clarkson or the short guy. But the material reaching out to some of our students and reaching out to new communities is available through YouTube. And we've also done extensive work in iTunes. So, for example, this podcast I'm highlighting there is a dogs versus cats Darwin thing, which is really cool, and you ought to go and listen to it and download it. But all of the work of the communities we're working in are cool for what they're trying to achieve. What you won't find from us is anything that looks quite like a lecture inside iTunes. But the critical piece for opening this conference is to say that the work for today is about the being professional in podcasting. It's easy enough to get material onto web pages. What's challenging is to organize them professionally into coherent things, which are feeds, and those feeds to be consumed by other services. Actually, all that iTunes is an RSS renderer for us. It takes our feeds and renders them beautifully, synchronizes beautifully to mobile devices, and opens us up to larger communities of people that we wouldn't normally necessarily get exposure to. The decisions we're making in the OU relate to now thinking about how to manage those feeds. And that's a key challenge for today. So the demo I showed you at the beginning is intended to act somewhat hub-like. Put your feed of your material into the central hub, make some decisions about it, submit it into editorial processes, and it could find itself going through into YouTube, going through into Miro, going through into iTunes, hitting our open resources, if that's part of the decision that you've made. We have a large project working on open educational resources where things are designed to be given away, moreover designed to allow you to take them and to reuse them and change them, which is the central resource there, OpenLearn, and also even into the student world, where they can appear inside, for us, Moodle. And that's a joke from an earlier talk where I spent a lot of time trashing conventional universities, which I promise not to do today. Okay, so we'll all be friends today. I'll trash you a bit later. Okay, not a warm audience. It's all right, you can joke there. I was kind of joking. But only kind of. iTunes then. We went into iTunes about, not quite a year ago just now. The thing, iTunes is an incredibly interesting channel for us with some very interesting characteristics. One of the most interesting characteristics to the Vice Chancellor's executive is that they have 75 million or so people who use them with credit cards. That's quite interesting to my executive. Not that we take their credit cards just now, but it's interesting that they're prepared to register them to download songs. Is there a potential relationship for doing higher educational stuff? I wonder. They've also got a lot of people using the channel for quite a lot of interesting work to us. So about a year ago, we entered June 2008 with a couple of other universities, Trinity Dublin and UCL. Oxford and Cambridge joined a little time thereafter, and the rest of Europe was admitted into the channel in January, with a few minor exceptions, I'm sure John can tell you about. We're now at about 3.4 million downloads in this channel to the world. That's not bad. It's not great, but it's not bad. I can tell you a bit more about that in a minute, because I think it's moderately interesting. So here's what we look like. And one of the things I'd say to you from our experience, we're talking a bit about our experience here of a podcast channel. From our experience, iTunes U is a very visual channel. People browse it looking for interesting things. The images that you use are important to convey the message you're after, to get people to look at your work and to be interested in your work, and to drive people through the channel towards your material. So we've worked very hard on making sure that the way we present ourselves is very strong visually. The key aspect, actually, of the demand criteria for us, for iTunes, is actually brand. It's very strong and a match for us for our quality agenda. We in the Open University are obsessed by quality. Quality first, which is one of the reasons we're a little bit hung up about the idea that one person can, as it were, speak for us and can present the quality on whatever the topic is. Because we think serious academic debate and negotiation has to happen before you decide how you're going to present a topic to someone. And the Apple channel has very high quality values, I think, in that. And it works very well for us in that. It's also zero geek compared to many of the other channels like YouTube. And it works very well with mobile devices. And I'm sure that John Hickey later on will mention that Apple, like us, believe we're moving into a much more mobile world, and I'm sure we don't even need to have a debate about that. What that means for higher education is actually worth a big debate, but it's probably a different conference, so we won't talk much about that today. But in terms of the mobility and getting stuff to our students and to a new world, the mobility aspect is very important. Because this client synchronizes so well with mobile devices, it's something that's very attractive to us. I'd also say in this channel, we have not just video, which YouTube is also very good at. YouTube's not so good with audio, and this is very good with audio, and audio is a very powerful material for our students. But we also have quite a lot of PDFs. We have a lot of text documents. And a significant download for us are our text documents through this channel, which is a little surprising. But again, part of the Open University's mission is to do with access, so everything in our channel also has a transcript, which is quite a burden for a conventional university, but is simply just part of our conventional work processes. Okie dokie. Finally, I'd say it is an interesting issue for most universities as who owns the stuff you just did, right? You've just done this cool work. Who owns it? Are you going to stick it into a channel next to the skateboarding dog where it can be embedded in somewhere where you have really no control over what that was? What's it sitting next to in an embed via YouTube? Well, for us, iTunes is nice because it lets us make decisions about who owns what, and we can retain the ownership of something if we want to. And also, in principle, we can lock stuff away and make it accessible just to our students. The OU has not yet released its private site, but we will, because it's just obvious and cool, and it's going to have some really neat stuff in it. But you have to be one of our students to see that. That's another conference, but that's not about today. So again, so the really nice thing about the iTunes channel, is it works very well for our material. And there's nothing quite like the sort of conventional university podcast someone talks thing. So it is a little odd me opening this conference. Most of our stuff is heavy on production values, because that's what the OU does. We really care about the production values and the academic point that each thing is trying to make when you're trying to do it. This was a very popular podcast, for example, with Americans about a year ago. Understanding Islam was actually a hot topic in California about a year ago. You can see the data of these things happening as people consume the things you're doing. So, what is this channel and how does it work for us? In the time we've been in iTunes, as I say, about 3.4 million downloads, but actually that's largely an artifact of the way we slice up the movies, right? It's a nice artifact because it gives you a very big number. We slice up the movies that we produce into small chunks of coherent conceptual content, which we spend a bit of time thinking about. And Nick Watson, who's in the audience here, is in charge of, where are you, Nick? Nick Wave. Nick is in charge of making this channel work now. It was my job to get it launched, and it's Nick's job to make it now work. So he and his team make sure that the content is coherent inside this channel, and it works for our consumers. So there's about 416,000 of those so far, averaging about, at the minute, 75,000 downloads a week, and one in six of those people come through to us. The channel is very variable. It is just a channel for broadcasting materials, so it comes and it goes. At one point during the year, we were having a new person who we'd never seen before come through to us every 30, 40 seconds, which was quite nice. I can also say that we don't exactly know everything about the people who come to this channel. But one thing we do know is that not many of them are OU students. Most of them, a large chunk of them are in territories where we don't actually trade, as it were. We don't teach. Come on, did I press the button? I pressed the button. Thank you. So if you want to see how that's worked, this is the stuff flowing through the channel. You will see, for example, these little blips here. When we were a graph that was that big, that blip was extremely exciting. That was huge. Apple sent out a little story to its North American subscribers for iTunes saying, hey, we've done some cool new stuff in the iTunes channel. Come and see it. Didn't mention us in particular, but all of a sudden we went, the people coming to look at our material went up like that. That, at the time, was another very exciting blip. Imagine the channel with a really steep curve going up over a couple of weeks when Apple did a nice little story on us saying, there's a cool podcast on Darwin. The OU has this really nice stuff on Darwin. We have a lot more stuff on Darwin, but at the time that was very exciting, a lot of people coming in. This thing here, which still shows up quite well on the channel, is languages. Again, a nice little story produced by the Apple editorial team who looked through the material in iTunes U, saying, the Open University seems to be quite good at teaching languages. You might like to go and have a look at that. So that sweet little blip was largely North Americans, often from California, exaggerating, and Ben can give you the correct statistics, but I'm coloring the picture here. Californians looking for Spanish. Okay. So, the reason that we know that these are not our students, primarily, is that we haven't bothered to promote this channel to our students because we haven't finished our private site yet. Once the private site's finished, a lot of new material will be here to support our mobile Open University world, but it's not ready yet. So at the minute, we're just looking at the rest of the world to explain a little bit about who we are and give them some free stuff, because we really like giving the world free stuff. It's one of our core values, free and meaningful materials. So these are the people who are coming through to us. And this is a reflection in terms of downloads of the curve you just saw. Those big spikes are when we realized that we were very grateful for making a basic decision about where we put our materials. All of our materials are hosted in the Amazon cloud somewhere. This means that at any given time, when suddenly something happens that we couldn't possibly anticipate, like someone sends out a nice story saying, hey, go and look at iTunes because there's some really cool stuff in there, the Open University's core business systems don't break. what happens is that the Amazon cloud moves material to the different servers, and that sort of blip gets washed out. It's been a very good service, and it's incredibly cheap and good value, so computer service people of the world, beware. Outsourcing is a little gleam in the eye of the vice chancellor's executive of all universities, okay? And you say, it costs us maybe $1,000 to put a lot of material. We can ship, in between 40 and 50 terabytes of data so far, and nobody has really noticed, and it's on my personal credit card because it's not a big deal. And I make an expenses claim every month because it's a small amount of money, and we don't really need to tax the computing system and the computing service for this because we have a web page that says, take it from the OU's core servers, take it from Amazon, or take it from somewhere else. And just latterly, one of the reasons I do not know whether it is 40 terabytes of data or 50 terabytes of data is that just latterly, Apple has started caching quite a lot of our material in their own service provider, Akamai. They don't own it. You don't own Akamai yet, do you, John? It's a really cool service. But Akamai also is providing quite a lot of our data now, which means we have to get the measured logs to connect together. Ben will talk a little bit about that this afternoon. Okay, so saying vaguely interesting things to you right now, okay? It's all right, cold audience, warming you up in the morning. This is a slide that interests the university, right? We're showing this material to the world. We're saying our university in higher education can look like this. Here's some material that you can have. Great. University people come through, people interested in basic Spanish in California come through. They take some material, and then they walk away again. That's kind of nice. It's nice, we've done a good thing. We've helped potential OU students. We've opened ourselves to a new audience. But have they come through to see us? Actually, they have. A small proportion, as I said, of the people who take material from our iTunes U store channel come through to see the Open University thereafter. It won't surprise you to learn that the difference between 30,000 people coming through and 52,000 people coming through is Spanish. That big jump there is languages, more or less, and pretty much Spanish. So we go back to our faculty and say, you know, we don't currently teach any North Americans Spanish. Don't you think we should think about that? We teach a lot of people Spanish, but we don't currently have a course in California. I think you should think about that because it's interesting. Okay. I'm at 20 minutes, and I wanted to wind up with some. It's good, I've actually beaten my phone. I wanted to wind up by talking about the material. And I'm not going to say very much about this, because I know that Peter will talk a bit about it. So the reason we're here today is that we're talking about the critical thing as a technical conference is to think about what the issues are, and we'll be talking about that through the day. But the most critical thing, actually stepping back from the technical issues, is a level of partnership, where the sorts of problems that you have and the sorts of problems that we have are actually at their core very similar. In a sense, it doesn't matter whether our podcasts are an individual academic talking about astronomy, or whether they're a heavily produced BBC production or an OU production center production on the moon. There's still material that we have to share, and the issues, thank you, phone, telling me to shut up. I'm just about to. Is in terms of the level of partnership where we're sharing common issues and having the discussion together about sharing these systems. So this workshop is funded from a JISC initiative, which is about saying, let's look at our common problems, the things that we do well as a bunch of universities all with similar sorts of issues, and try to bring that partnership together so that the UK is stronger afterwards than it was before. I'll skip over that slide because I'm sure Bjorn will talk about it. Bjorn will talk about RSS and integration in other systems. So I want to finish by saying, actually, there are lots of other partnerships you should also consider. Whilst you're here, I'll take the opportunity to say that you should not just look at the UK scene for podcasting, because Europe is also very strong on large repositories of data. And we have partners here from European countries who've got lots of other things to say with respect to sharing our experience. So just because it's a JISC-funded initiative, we shouldn't just be looking inside the country. This is one of my projects, which I think is an excellent one. It isn't just about podcasting. It's about interrelating content repositories across the continent funded by the European Union. This is a cool project which you should also join, because it turns out that though you've probably got lots of other content repositories, your podcast content repositories will come to be, over the next few years, I predict, quite interesting. And you'll want to share them with a large partnership of other people. So ICOPA is about trying to get the best practices from all across the union together. Finally, I would say, if you move up a level in partnership terms, the next thing you should then think about is not just sharing AV material, as it were, from your lectures or whatever other models you use. I'm predicting that lectures are quite important to you. But whatever other models you use, you're creating valuable learning assets for a large community of learners. So you also ought to think about networking with communities who think about learning and think about the sorts of learning that you need to do in the 21st century. The reason that Stellar is a good network is that it's just started, and I'm the coordinator. So it's my job to encourage everybody else in Europe to say, don't just think about your podcasts. Don't just think about professionally pulling those together into feeds, which is today. Think about what you're doing educationally and try to share that with an educational community that's starting to rethink the nature of higher education across the world. And I could actually show you a number of other partnerships that we're into, but I wanted to finish here by not taking too much of your time, but to say this day is about being partners and being friends and joining in together at a common activity. So join the networks and talk to all these other people, because they're really, really interesting. And I'll stop there. Thank you.